Blog Talk Radio.
Dedicate our lives to this sport. We do thousands of sit-ups in camp. We run hundreds of miles, you know, for the ones that take it serious. And we just dedicate ourselves fully to our craft, man. We watch tape. We attitude. We moody, and we go into that fight and to land on the line.
Minnesota Vikings fans, the Purple People Eaters podcast returns, and we are very happy at this given time. Winning back-to-back games, the home team is starting to, starting to resemble the squad that we all fall in love with long, long time ago, but especially the squad under Zimmer, who's in his fifth year, I believe. You know, Cat from the Vikings, he just signed an extension. Last year, Wiggins, a variety of guys, for the Vikings, we do a pretty good job at signing, you know, the core. A lot of people getting extensions. How about my guy, Mike One-Eyed Zimmer? Good old Mike One-Eyed Zimmer. How about we get him a gosh darn extension? But anyway, this is the Purple People Eaters podcast. I am your host, Chris Carlson. My co-host, Aaron, will join me very soon. And we are back to talk everything about our beloved, surrounding any topic about our beloved Eaters. A couple of people came to me not long ago and said, why is it called the Purple People Eaters? And it's like, well, you're obviously not a Vikings fan, but this was a young person too, so they don't really know. It's not like we saw, you know, that the actual defensive line in the 70s play a lot in late 60s, but they liked it. They liked it. They were like, that's such a good name. Where'd you get it from? It's like, well, I completely stole the name. But anyway, let's get focused, shall we? We're going to start by recapping, of course, the Cardinals game. We'll just kind of give our thoughts on it, bring up some little notes that both of us probably took, so we'll definitely recap that. And, of course, you know, we're going to preview and predict the Minnesota Vikes versus the New York Jets. New York City, get a rope. No, just kidding. Week 7, that's another one. We're dating ourselves with the Purple People Eaters and that. I'm going to just start saying, where's the beef? Well, we might as well just start dating ourselves all the way back. So week 7, right around the corner, we're on the road. It seems like the Vikings have been on the road. They're just a road team. We don't have a home field, or at least it didn't feel like we had a home field a couple weeks ago against Buffalo. It was nice that the crowd definitely got into it. The skull chant we need more skull chant. And actually Zimmer said, you know, I heard the damn skull chant just twice in the game. And they should be doing that thing about 18, 20 times a game. 13, 14 is steal from common as well. But, you know, we do have a variety of topics, whether it's on the offensive side of the ball, the big day for the running game. Thielen still, this is what it's in the description. Thielen is still a beast. Laquon Treadwell showed up, made some good catches. And then, you know, we got a lot of positive, but of course, we're going to face head on the negativities as well. And, of course, batted balls. I mean, have you seen that many in a game get batted down? And then on the defensive side, is the defense back? A couple of safeties shined. And, of course, Hunter, speaking of beast, yeah, I'm pretty sure he's still a beast too. Hunter is just, you know, ridiculous. Just ridiculous, man. And he's just coming on his 25th birthday. Of course, the first round. This is back-to-back first round picks, ACL tears. Maybe it was an MCL last year. I don't remember with Cook. By the way, we need Cook back in this game. It's kind of troubling that he sound, you know, from the sounds of it, he was all ready to go. And then in his workout, it just didn't respond. Hopefully, he didn't have a setback. But Hughes did, the rookie corner who's really starting to come on. He is done for the season. We're going to have to talk about who's going to fill the role. Is it going to be a big nickel? Which it kind of sounds like it may be. And we have the guy who's been in the system and knows all about the big nickel. And also roster spot. Should we just get another corner? Is it out there? Should we bring someone up from the practice squad? That type of thing. And, you know, last week I'll take full responsibility. I shut the show down without remembering that we have a Minnesota Gophers football segment. Totally spaced it. So I apologize that for whoever hangs around and listens to that part as well. We're going to review Ohio State. You know, if there's a theme with Iowa, we'll kind of bring that up, but we're not going to get too detailed on that Iowa game, obviously, because that's already 2 weeks away. So we're going to talk about, you know, Ohio State is a great program, elite program, obviously. We hung right there with them all the way. Well, maybe not all the way to then, but pretty damn close. So we're going to talk that. And, of course, we're going to preview this game that they got coming up at Nebraska. Oh, I don't even want to talk about it right now because I'm really afraid of that game. I know you're saying, Chris, why the hell are you afraid of that game? They're 0-6. That's exactly my point. Have you seen some of these games lately, too? They've been coming down to the wire. I'm a little afraid. If this is your first time listening to the Purple People Eater podcast, it streams live right here on blogtalkradio.com/ropeadoperadio. So it can be subscribed under Ropeadope Radio anywhere, whatever. iTunes, a.k.a. Apple Podcasts, Player FM, Spreaker, Stitcher, TuneIn, all sorts of different places. And we're also part of the Grueling True Sports Podcast Network, and that can be subscribed to all over the place. And you can stream the Grueling True Sports Podcast Network on iHeartRadio and also on Spotify. Head on over to thegruelingtruth.net. That's thegruelingtruth.net. It's football. It's basketball, it's baseball, which obviously we're in the playoffs. It's boxing, it's everything in between. Hell, they even got college. They even got Canadian football that they talk about. I think it's coming down. It's coming down to the end here, actually, for that. But head on over to thegruelingtruth.net. Listen to a podcast, read an article. I also write for college football and basketball and boxing there. And while you're at it, place a bet. It'll link you right to mybookie.ag. So just a couple of thoughts here before I bring in my co-host, Aaron. Like I said, the Cook thing. Dalvin Cook, there's a lot of positives with this guy. I watched him at Florida State, plenty. The guy, I kept thinking, man, in that second half, don't get me wrong, the running back, you know, that we have starting, the guy's pretty damn solid, right? I mean, he's had a good career, and we signed him pretty good deal. Now, that deal at the end of the year may have to come down a little bit. He may have to give some of that money back to stay in the squad. I guess that all kind of matters where Cook is, and that's my point. I saw a couple of times. First of all, I think there was, 20? Just running game-wise, there was 20, or no, there's four 20-plus rushing bursts, I guess you could say. Four of them, 20 yards or more. And one of those, Cook would have scored. I'm just saying. But I'm a little troubled now. We got a hamstring. Hamstring with skilled players is always a sneaky thing. I'm a little worried about him. I got to admit, I'm a little worried about him. And it only took us till week six to get a damn rushing touchdown, and we ended up getting two of them because Cousins got in there. And by the way, that Cousins dance was pretty funny. Thielen tried to do some of it, but it didn't seem like everybody was involved. They're kind of unorganized, but Cousins did it, and Diggs came up to him and kind of did a combination of his dance and Diggs' dance, and it was funny. Everybody had fun, right? So literally our first and second rushing TDs. The goal line stance was another note. That was great. That was phenomenal. Hunter, this guy, 7 sacks through 6 games. Really, really, really impressive with him. Or impressed, I should say. And Treadwell, that was another one that we'll talk about a little bit later. Thielen, this guy, he just keeps making these catches. That first down catch that he had where he landed right on there, that was something that stood out. We talked about double dipping. They talked about it all yesterday, basically, and the day after. 2 days ago, Sunday night and Monday, how they want a double dip. We got the double dip. I guess they were on the sidelines talking about double dipping. And if you haven't heard of the interview or don't know what a double dip is, that's when you score at the end of half, you get the ball back, and then you score again. And at that point, it felt pretty damn good. It felt like the Vikes were in control by that time. I'm going to go ahead and stop rambling and bring in Aaron and let him give his thoughts, how the game went first half, second half. Obviously, we'll get into some of those topics. The batted ball thing is was a little weird. There was a moment where it was like you had the pick and then a bunch of batted balls. Otherwise, you didn't even have an incompletion, really. You know what I mean? Kind of a nice little nutshell summary of, notes or just items while the game was going on that you want to discuss, sir.
It's good to be back on the Purple People Eaters podcast. This is Aaron. Recap of the game. You hit a lot of good points there. Pretty much what I would have said. I was a little nervous going into halftime there, even though the defense had only given up 3 points. They had that fumble return, so put the game at 13-10, and was real comfortable. Got a little more comfortable after they kicked the field goal to make it 13-10. I thought they came out a little sluggish. Kind of the whole building felt a little sluggish. Kind of looked people were sitting on their hands a little bit, kind of a show me attitude. And so I think kind of maybe got down to the team. I'm not sure how that went, but it just seemed like kind of quiet, like a mausoleum in there. Trying to see, I think maybe the Buffalo loss had something to do with that. People were just kind of like, I don't want to get too excited, But, I thought it all went well. I thought the running game looked good. I'm glad that they showcased it. I was going to come in when you were saying that, geez, I can't remember the last time we didn't have a rushing touchdown until the 6th game of the season. And, geez, you think you'd hear a lot more about it, but it just kind of went under the radar. Nobody really went crazy about that. So I thought that was kind of an interesting point. Other years, if we wouldn't have had a rushing touchdown to the 6th game of the season, I think people would have been pulling their hair out. So, yeah, I thought Thielen's still sort of benefiting from the extra attention paid to Diggs. I think Thielen's catching some great balls, don't get me wrong. He's playing right. Very, very well. But I think that has to do with a little bit with maybe Diggs getting doubled. I'd like to see him try to double Thielen and see what Diggs could do. But I think they're both playing really, really well. Laquan came on and made some big catches, especially in the first quarter. Didn't do much after that, but he did what he was asked to do. And yes, I thought overall it was a good team win. The batted balls, that's an issue that we could get into. Here's what my thoughts on the batted balls.
7 of those puppies.
7 of
those.
I've never seen 7. Yeah. here's the deal. Now, it's either the offensive line or it's the dreaded low release. If it's the low release, it's a little too late in the game to be changing Kirk's mechanics. So he's going to have to find throwing lanes a little bit better. But going forward, that could be a problem. That could spell trouble. Let's hope it's something to do with the line. I'm going to lean more towards the fact that he just kind of releases the ball a little bit low. Maybe he can pick it up a little bit. But, yeah, that was a little distressing. When you got to 5 and 6, 7, you start to go, oh, geez, this is not good. But, yeah, I mean, overall, it was a pretty good team win. Yeah, I mean, two wins now in a row. So let's go on to the New York Jets.
Well, and just staying on that batted ball, and Cousins in general, I thought the first half, you know, he had that bad interception where he threw to a spot, and it just – unless – now, we don't know – the exact route, and maybe, the wide receiver. There could have been a miscommunication, but it seemed like he was just kind of putting in that spot, and it just wasn't a good pass. Didn't need to happen. He's only had a couple of them where you're like, oh, yeah, I don't need that from you, Cousins, but that's going to happen, obviously. He's had a great year thus far, but the interception was a little troublesome. But, yeah, the block, I agree. I think the block passes, some of it, I know Zimmer was saying they were kind of playing to that a little bit instead of getting pressure. At times they were kind of seeking that out. But in the same breath, I think you're right. And we even talked about how he doesn't have a lot of velocity on his ball earlier. It's more of a dart. It gets there quick. Don't get me wrong. He's got an arm, plenty arm. But it doesn't, like when he throws it deep, you don't see that deep bomb. That's why they call it the bomb, right? Because of the how it actually looks going down. His doesn't really do that. He's not necessarily a jump ball, throw it 40 yards in the air type of guy. So that could be an issue. And like you said, I've never seen seven. So that started. And I also noticed, Aaron, that a couple times after that, after like five of them, there was a moment where he had, I think it was Ham to his right, and you could see him kind of hesitate for a half second, and then he got sacked. And I remember there was another one where it looked like he had somebody to the right. He was a back, but then Diggs, the broadcast team on the replay, said it. Diggs was open too, and it was almost like, you know, did a couple of possessions there, a couple of snaps kind of mess with them a little bit, and it kind of felt like that was the case. Now, obviously the biggest thing, if we're going to – I mean, we've talked a lot of positivity, and the guy is the shit, no doubt about it. He's better than I thought he was, even though the stats told you he's got top five stats the last 4 years, but you still don't know until you get him in and you get to see him game by game. So we're not trying to pile on, but he obviously has some – with those great stats in the last, you know, 4 years, the fumble snap, especially the last 2 years, the fumble – that could be an issue. He's got to clear that up. Now, I don't know if this fumble was his problem. He stepped up. He was about to dump it off, and he got hit. And that's another thing is that defensive end, Jones, was just destroying us. And there was a couple of times where I wish we would have brought a little extra protection just because, you know, what we talked about last week where it's like, you know, how many passes, how many dropbacks do you want Cousins to do? How many times do you really want him to get hit while he's throwing the ball over and over? And so, you know, even though we ran the ball, we still did chuck it for 34 times. That's really not that much in today's game, though. You know, 34 is still pretty steady. 24 of 34, had that bad pick, did have a fair amount of pressure. I think he's getting pressured the most. But, yeah, Murray, man, just to get off Cousins now, I thought he played better in the second or maybe late second. And in the second half, I thought he played fairly well. It just, for a moment there, I was like, this is probably his worst game. And still did okay and made enough plays, I thought. Overall, we ran the ball for three times. Cousins sneaked that one in, a seven-yarder for a touchdown. Or no, that was actually closer, but he did have a seven-yarder as well. He ran the ball four times. I didn't really think about that. But 24 carries, buck 55, 6.5 and a touchdown. Thielen, no way. Another week, another 100-yard game. No one's ever done that. This guy is going to start to set some records, Thielen. Well, he's already setting the records, but beyond just NFL, beyond the merger, the 1970s type stuff, he's going to dig it even further back the way this guy is playing. It's simply just it's unbelievable, man. It's unbelievable. He's one shy of 100 yards through seven games. It's a 57-year-old record. And his 58 receptions through six is the most from a Super Bowl era. So this, I mean, wow. But, yeah, like I was saying, Murray, buck 55. We haven't had a guy over a buck 55 since, I don't know if you're going to remember this guy, but he was here for a little while. His name was All Day, AP, All Day, Adrian Peterson, ran for a buck 58, week 12, 2015. That was the last time we had been over that. So, you know, that's quite, you know, quite some time there. Here's a little stat with Kirk Cousins. On passing of 20 yards or more this season, he's 13 of 23. He's first in the NFL for completion and QB rating in that. He has 8 touchdowns, 0 picks, 390, and that's passes over 20 yards. And, you know, obviously I bring that stat up because that's kind of been our MO under Zimmer. Can we pass the damn thing for more than 21 yards? You know what I mean? That's been a little issue with us, but yeah, 200 yards or wait, what was it? 200 yards overall. And we had in 5 games, what they have, I think it was only like 329 total. And we got 200 yards just in that game. So we really, now I know it's Arizona and I know they're not the best squad out there, but you still got to do it. The Bills aren't the best squad out there, but you still got to do it. You know what I mean? So as far as just kind of, you know, once we extended the lead a little bit, it kind of felt like, okay, we got this game. We weren't doing a whole lot on offense. We were just kind of moving the ball. And like I said, those big chunk plays. 0-for-10 on third down. And we're going to get into the defense in just a second. That's obviously pretty damn good. We had like 3 or 4 false starts. I think 2 of them were on Compton. That's a little troublesome, especially, you know, as we get down to the nitty gritty and get into November and get into, you know, December and all that. But yeah, that opening drive, 10 plays, 75 yards, opening drive of the second half, mostly runs, but it was really a combination of Cousins and Thielen and some runs. It was really, really good, really fun to watch. And just to kind of get us to the defensive side at some point, the blitz packages that Zimmer had, they were definitely finding a home, weren't they? And let's kind of just lend it – let's just kind of go into, you know, the defense a little bit here. Is the defense back now, back-to-back solid games, one on the road, one at home?
That's a tough question, I think, to answer, you know, because if you say, is it back? Well, what is back? Is it last year's defense? I'm going to say yes, it's back, but I'll put a caveat in there. It's a lot of new faces, especially in the back end. We've got a revolving door going on in the secondary right now, so it's going to be touch and go, I think. Hughes wasn't a huge part of what we were doing back there, but the loss of him will be felt, and there will be changes made. And, you know, guys like Iloka, I thought he played really well, but you're going to see more of Curse, and you're going to see more Holton Hill, a rookie out of Texas. And I haven't seen Hill play a lot except for in the special teams game. He hasn't really shown up a lot as far as tackles go, but he's really good at letting the ball go over his head on kickoffs. So, you know, I got a little bit of faith. I know they really liked Hughes. I know they really thought he had a future, and he still does, but it'll be put off until next year. It's a tough injury for that kid. I'm really rooting for him. Defense, is it back? Yes, in the sense that everybody's got a purpose. They know what they're doing. They are familiar with the scheme. They run the scheme very well. Are they going to fall into the same traps they fell into last year? Possibly. Are they going to improve on that? Possibly. I think the defense is in a good place, injuries included. I think we just need to, you know, bend our backs a little bit and start to get a little more aggressive. I thought the blitz packages against a rookie quarterback were were very good. And, you know, Zimmer's got 1,000 of those, so I'm sure that old Sam Darnold will see a bunch of those as well. Yeah, I just thought Hunter's playing very well on the that side of the line, and I was thinking to myself, when Ev comes back, if Ev comes back, do you still keep Hunter on that side of the line? I think you do. I don't know what you do. Maybe rotate him in with Everson if you're starting to build a little bit of depth on the other side. So I thought Weatherly played well. So I think it's, in a one-word answer to is the defense back, I'm going to say yes. But we'll see this weekend going into on the road against a team with some good speed, and we'll see how that goes. But, defensively, didn't really have any – I thought the goal line stand was pretty impressive. And they've done that now. They did that against San Francisco. They did that again this week. They're very good in goal line situations, and I know that Zimmer really, really emphasizes that in practice and throughout training camp and stuff. You brought up a name earlier who might fill in for Hughes, and I wasn't even aware that he was on the practice squad, but that's a former Gopher, Jalen Myrick, coming up from the practice squad possibly. I don't know if they've made that move yet, but that's a little bit more depth in the secondary.
Big
so I think
too.
We've got the bodies back there.
He's definitely a big Excuse kid, me? And he's a speedster. He's a big kid, too. He's got good size, and he's quick. He's real quick. And I forgot Hughes, he does special teams, too, because I forgot Hughes does special teams, too. So I wouldn't doubt if that is the roster spot. What do you think? Should we go corner and just say screw it because we need that? Or do you kind of have an open mind and see if you can find the best talent out there regardless?
You know, I think we stay with what we got. And you're right. Myrick has a lot of special teams experience. He was a kick returner at Minnesota as well. So, yeah, I think you got the bodies. It's just, do you have the confidence in letting some of these young guys come in and fill a spot? I think Hill's going to be an important guy. If Waynes can't stay on the field, then Hill's going to have to be pressed into duty. So we got to keep an eye on him and see how he's playing. But the big nickel package, you've got two guys to come in there. You've got Iloka and Curse as a backup, or vice versa.
Yep.
Your other side corner, you got Holton Hill and Jalen Myrick. And then you got McKenzie and Myrick probably in the slot. So I think depth-wise, you're doing okay as long as you don't sustain any more injuries in the secondary. So, yeah, I think we're in pretty good shape. Now, if we lose another one, that might be a time to go looking for one.
Right. And Zimmer's not afraid to rotate bodies either. I mean, you saw Harris. You saw Curse. Ioka, like you said, I liked him starting too. We said about like a month in the season, 6 weeks in the season, obviously, you know, the starting, you know, safety, Sendejo, he did get hurt. But was it concussion with him? I can't remember how he got hurt. What was it? Do you remember?
I want to say it's a leg, something with the leg, but it could be a concussion. I'm not 100% sure, no.
I like Ioka, though. He's a big freaking dude. He knows the system. He played that big nickel a lot, actually. He was just talking about that on Monday. But it was nice to see him out there. Dude's a specimen. He really is, and he's a veteran player, and he'll wrap up. You know, he'll definitely wrap up. And we talked about how Sendejo, you know, he likes to just chest bump. He don't like to hug it out. He don't like to hug it out. And like you said, those blitzes definitely found a home. Zimmer has forgotten more blitz packages than we could even remember. They fall out of his fucking pockets once in a while. You know what I mean? This guy, he really did. I liked what I saw when a lot of clean hits on the quarterback. I mean, it does sound like Griff is doing better. He's at home. He's coming back. Yeah, I mean, write it down. I mean, even, you know, that Instagram post that we read a couple weeks back, to me, that lent itself to tell us that he's coming back. That really, to me, that's what it looked like. And now it's just more positivity. And remember, nothing actually happened to him, or he didn't do something to somebody that, sure, you can get in some trouble. Obviously, he got disciplined. He's not playing right now. You know what I mean? He had to go get help. whether it's a different medication thing, whatever the case is. But now having that depth with him back, he is one of the best pass rushers in the league the last 5 years. In fact, this is the genius of Zimmer. Here's a guy, Griff, that came off the bench in third down situations, you know, for years, right? And then all of a sudden, Zimmer came here, saw some tape on him, and said, let's actually give him a big deal and start him. And everyone's like, oh, really? He got that big of a deal? But obviously, that was a steal then. Now, this new deal is a little bit more healthier in what he's deserved. But the combination of Weatherly in company, obviously Hunter starting, but just the depth now, and the fact that those first, I think, 5 or 4 years that he played, he came out the, you know, in a limited role, in a pass rushing role. So therefore, my whole point with that is the miles on the odometer are a little bit lower than you think for someone entering the later part of their career. So I think from here on out, the next couple of years, as long as he can maintain a healthy mental state, we got depth. We can rotate him a little bit more. You know, he had that little issue with his foot down the stretch last year, and overall, it looks like the defensive line in general started kind of wearing out last year. So he's going to have some fresh legs. You give him fresh legs and you know, time off, he's going to be – I can't wait to see him. But, you know, if he doesn't and he's still happy, that's cool too. You know, I'm cool with that. But I really feel like he's coming home. It's not just the fanboy homer in me. As far as that defense, I think it's pretty close. I think we're in the maybe 90% area of all the way back. Like I said, 0 for 10 on third down against the Cards so far this year. Because remember, we set that record last year, 25.2% last year on third down, which is silly. I think that was the – I don't know if it was a merger record or the record. I think it's a merger record. But anyway, when we faced the Eagles, it was 2 for 9. The Rams, it was 1 for 6. Of course, they only got – we talked about that. They only had 6 third down. So that's not really a good stat there, 1 of 6 on that one. The Bills were 5 of 14. The Packers were 4 of 13. The Niners were 7 for 17, and a lot of them were late. So total, 19 of 69, 27.53. So we are getting closer to the defense. I still think, you know, with some inexperience and some youth that we've kind of had some growing pains back there. So I guess I can't say that they're the exact defense or whatever, but you can make – I don't even think it's an argument. I don't think it's really debatable. We have more depth, especially with Johnson back now too. And they play him a little bit on the edge every once in a while, I noticed. But I like our depth on the defensive line now too, man. So let's hope that we can get Jalen Myrick. And I remember him in a Purdue game taking a kickoff back. The guy, he didn't get a ton of playing time when he was younger because we had such steady veteran corners at that time with the in the kill era for the Ghosts. But he did definitely learn from a lot of good coaches, and that's one thing about Kill in that side of the ball in general. They kept us in most games like that, but that's a little bit later. We are going to talk to Gophers. Is there anything else that you want to bring up or talk about before we start to kind of move on down the road for that Jets game coming up on the road? Once again, on the frickin' road. Like, how many... We've had 1, 2, 3. It's our fourth road game in 7 weeks. Now, we'll be back at home, New Orleans. That's going to be tough, Sunday night. And then we'll have a home game against Detroit. Then it's a lot of conference stuff. We got our bye and a bunch of conference stuff coming up at New England. And at Seattle is never an easy place. That's a Monday night. I like the way the schedule kind of ends though, but anything that you any kind of note or anything that you want to mention before we start to get into these Jets, G-E-T-S, Jets?
No, I thought we covered everything pretty well on the Cardinals game, so we'll get on to the Jets. I get, you know, this is a road game. in New York. So I think, you know, they've got some solid players over there. They got a lot of speed on the outside. And Darnold's played well. I'm not sure he's faced what he might face with a Zimmer defense, but he's played well enough to win a football game. So, and he's won three. I think they're 3-3 now. So, you know, it's going to be quite a road test. I think getting up for the game, it's easy to get up for a Green Bay on the road or a Philadelphia on the road, but going into New York, you know, you feel like you got a decent chance of winning that game. Can you bring the energy? Can you make can you get the game over with quickly? You know, can you play well there on the road in New York? Those are some of the questions I have going into the next game. Darnold worries me a little bit. He's kind of hot and cold, so you kind of hope he's cold. But he's been running pretty hot lately. You know, your feelings, I guess, going into the Jets, I don't see a lot of them, so I haven't taken a real hard look at them. I did check out some of the stats. So, you know, maybe give your feelings on the Jets now.
Well, real quick, before we get into old Sammy, the Vikings announced they signed D-tackle, kind of re-signed David Perry, and moved rookie, you know, Mike Hughes to the injury reserve. Of course, Perry was with the team for 2 weeks of the season, and he got released to make room for Tom Johnson and cornerback Craig James. I think he played at Baylor. Craig James, he's been around. Haven't we had him before?
You know, I think we have.
He's now on the practice squad, and our guy, the Gopher guy, they released his ass from the practice squad. Jalen Myers, he's gone. They did. They just did. Yeah. So, all right. So
okay. That's
why we're doing a podcast and talking, and we're not coaches. So we got a D tackle. We got a D tackle back that we did have previously on the squad. So, but just a little update there. But yeah, you're right, Darnold. He's a guy that at USC, you know, looked apart, big arm, big dude in general. Definitely looks like just a USC quarterback, no doubt. The last two games, you're right, of late, he's been playing really good. If you look at his accuracy is fourth the last two games anyway, at 87.2 with a clean pocket. But that's the key. A clean pocket. It's not going to be clean. It's going to be dirty. A deep accuracy rate that they have, he's up in that. He definitely has a huge arm. So he's coming along nicely, no doubt about it. According to ESPN's Football Power Index, the matchup predictor here, Aaron, is giving the Vikes a 55.5% chance. Compared to 44.1, there is a 0.4 chance of a tie, according to the Football Power Index, whatever the hell that means. But this has just been more of late, though, with Sammy. Sammy is looking good, but, you know, he's thrown plenty of picks. He has a couple games. His best game was against Miami week 2, threw the ball 41 times. Threw for 334 yards. He did throw for 34 times against Jacksonville. More of a dirty defense, more of a stout defense, if you will. He only had a 167 in that one. He played really good against Denver, and they're generally good on defense too. But so yeah, he actually is doing pretty good. I mean, he had a good game, 24-30 last week. Two touchdowns and just one pick. So that's the thing about him. And you know, at USC, don't get me wrong, he put up a bundle of points and numbers and all that. But he did throw some, you know, timely picks for the other squad. So they don't really have that much out as far as players that you go, oh, shit, really, he's out? Nice. But that's not the case, really. Riley Reiff might come back. I don't know. He's still questionable. I really hope that we get Dalvin Cook back. I really, really hope that. It's, you know, the stats right now are just funky. We feel like a better offense than last year, but the way the stats are, it says we're not. You know, we're just actually a little bit lower, and we're still up in the 24.7 range. It's like Zimmer's first year when he just had a garbage defense. So, and hey, look at that now. We're up to 87 yards per game for rushing there, Aaron, whereas we were hanging around that 60 mark for so damn long. So you got to love that. You got to love that. And neither squad really gives up a ton of run. God, look at this. They're passing yards allowed for both squads, 292.3, exactly the same on both sides. That's pretty crazy.
Huh.
That's really weird. Yeah, really weird. They lost to Cleveland, lost to Miami, lost to Jacksonville, and they got off the schneid against Denver 2 weeks ago, and now they are playing pretty good. Their offense definitely improved. They did give up 34 last week. Of course, it's going to be at MetLife Stadium on Fox in East Rutherford, New Jersey. We're not afraid of the road because we basically have been on the road the whole time. You know, I just think when on the road, man, get that running game going again. You know, try to get the screen quick pass screen going as well. We have yet to see. And this is what I'm hoping we can get it going is our play action. Not to say that we haven't done any of it or tried or whatever, and that goes with a strong run game. You know, it's hard to do a bunch of play action if you're not running, not any of that, but it takes time, right? Because you got to fake the hand up, make it look like a run, and then you need some time because generally you're stepping back and you know, it's sometimes like seven-step drops at times of that. So even if we do a quick three-step fire to a screen or to like a slant off of a play action, you know, just something like that. I do like our short passing though, and it tends to fit our offense in general. I'm kind of looking at Treadwell here too, because you had four catches, like you said, didn't do much after that, but they were key catches. They were early. He got the first two, right? And then he made that catch where the ball was one like a dart. It was really fast, and it was a little high. And he caught that and ran right after it. So I'm kind of looking at Treadwell like, all right, dude, let's see if you can follow it up with another two or three catches and maybe just one or two catches if they're, you know, important on third down or something like that. I wanted to add on to what you said about Thielen too. And a lot of people get a little touchy because he's a hometown guy. I can't sit there and tell you he's the best wide receiver hands down in the league. There's no even debate. Now, based off stats, you can this year, but I still wouldn't call him the best receiver. I'll say this, though. No doubt about it, Diggs gets the double. Thielen even says it after games. He clearly says it. And he gets the double. And it wasn't even all about the double last week. Basically, Patterson, who's one of the best corners in the league, and throughout the time he's been in, at times he's been the number one guy, he was maybe a little bit more explosive, you know, 5-6 years ago or whatever, because he used to do punt returns too. But Patterson followed him around the whole game, basically. So that tells you right there, if they're putting their best guy on him, but Thielen's taking advantage of it. Now, you know, I also want to, just because I know people are going to get a little defensive on Thielen as well, that's not negative because the last 2 years he's proven that he could put up numbers without Diggs on the field. Because that's the one thing about Diggs. He's every year he's a little banged up. Knock on wood, he hasn't had that this year. But for those who just want to say, oh, it's mostly Diggs or whatever, or the quarterback or whatever, he's had plenty of quarterbacks stealing. Well, both the guys have. But Thielen also produced and stayed in the game and you know, the last 2 years, you know, remained healthy too. So I think that's something I wanted to add as well. Crowell can definitely – they're feeding him pretty well, especially of late. I don't know the whole wide receiver roster and whatnot. They definitely don't have, you know, obviously the depth we have there. It does seem like they're trying to still get their, you know, their line together. No doubt about that. They kind of spread it out. You look at their numbers, and it's like the top guy only has 287, but Anderson has 270. Pryor from Ohio State, the quarterback at Ohio State, he's got 235. Kearse has got a 165. So it looks like they definitely spread it around, which helps in a sense for a young quarterback. Of course, you know, it means you have to go through your progression as well. But they've been running the ball pretty well. Crowell has 5 touchdowns out of Georgia. Big, big back, you know. So, I don't know, man. Of course, you're on the road. It is a, you know, it's going to be somewhat. What's that guy's name that has the fireman? Is that Fireman Bob or? No, that's in Living Color. What's the guy who's got the Jets hat on? And he's always, you know, J-E-T-S, yes, yes, yes. He's out, they always go to him. It's this guy who's probably, for a while, it seemed like he's been in his 50s. What the hell do they call that guy? It's like fireman. I forgot what they call him. Do you know what I'm talking about? They always show him. They always show this guy.
Yeah, they always show him, but I'm not sure what they call him. But I know who you're talking about. I was going to add that, you know, it seems like this season we've played better on the road than we have at home. And so that kind of leads me to believe we could have another good game here. You know, I worry about Cousins at home. Just seems to be a little bit, you know, the comforts of home and all that. Maybe it's hard to get the engine going. So, yeah, I think maybe we'll just jump out to a good start, play really tough. They do have a couple guys I worry about. Robbie Anderson's a fast guy on the outside. Wide receiver's been taking the top off defenses lately. Had a couple touchdowns on the last game, and I think one before that. Speed's always an issue. I think, you know, you put Waynes is pretty fast. Hope he doesn't pull a hammy, but put him out there. You know, I guess I wanted to reshuffle the secondary since you said we made those moves. I don't know a lot about Craig James, but I guess what you're going to have to do then is put maybe Hill will see some time on the outside, or Mackenzie Alexander will see some time on the outside if you're not going to bring up a guy. I don't think Zimmer will put some guy in just right after picking him up. The addition of David Perry is more depth on the defensive line, which is good. I liked him. I was sad we got rid of him. I'm glad he's back. So now you're going 6, 7, 8 guys rotating on that defensive line, which is pretty impressive. They can all sort of play. I know Perry had a regular season sack. I don't remember which game it was. But, yeah, this Jets game, I was going to piggyback also on what you're saying about Adam Thielen. He's playing really well. He's a great receiver. Everything's just great, and he's got probably the best hands I've seen in the league. I don't know. You know, that interception that Cousins threw, I thought you were going to see Thielen under it. I really had all faith in that ball until I saw it get picked off. So, you know, Diggs is getting a lot of attention. He's getting the other guy. Sooner or later, they're going to have to make a decision. I think they do make a decision going into game time all the time. The opposing defenses, they say, well, you know, if left one-on-one, who's going to kill you, you know? And I think they side more that Diggs might be a little bit more dangerous. Could be a speed thing. I don't know. But
right.
I mean,
I
don't think it really matters. I don't really think it matters to those two.
Off the defense a couple times, too, this year, you know?
Yeah. So, you know, I'm all for everybody loving Adam and player. And, you know, Diggs is – I think those two are pretty close friends. So, I don't think they care at all as long as they get the W. So, I don't think we should care too much either. I think they're both playing really, really well. It'd be nice to get a third in there, whether that be Treadwell or Robinson or anybody like that. But, yeah, the Jets seem like, you know, it's one. I really got to say it's a pick 'em. You know, give them the 3 points for being at home, the Jets, that is, and see who wins. I like the Vikings in it. I just can't really pick a point thing. I feel like it's either – I say this a lot, but I feel like it's either going to be a close grinder game that we win or it's going to be a blowout, which I don't have a lot of faith in. If they score a lot of points on us, you know, they've got a pretty tough front seven. A couple guys got 3 or more sacks on their defense. It's usually coming from the inside, which is where I think we're a little susceptible to rush on the inside of that offensive line. So I think it could, you know, I'm going to go more towards a low scoring game here. I think we're going to look at something like a 21-10 game for the Vikings. You know, it could, you know, erupt into a blowout if nobody decides to play defense that day, but I just don't see that happening. I think we're going to try to run the football, try to, you know, do a pretty typical road thing and try to, you know, eat the clock and get out of there. At least that's the game plan I'm hoping they'll take in. I'm going maybe Vikings by 7 if you put a gun to my head, but I think it'll be a low-scoring game with a 3-point or a 7-point advantage to the Vikings.
Yeah, the over-under is set at 47. We are a 3-point favorite, so really that means they're right around 6. I agree. They have been putting up a little bit more points of late, and I guess we have too, to an extent anyway. And we probably could have put more up last week, but we also had the lead, and we looked so good on that opening drive, that 10-play, 75-yard drive. So I'm not going to say they, you know, put it in neutral or anything like that, but they did kind of cruise downhill a little bit. So I'm going to say something like 26-19 or 26-20 or something like that. I think it'll be under. I think you're right. I think it'll be a close game like that, or a low-scoring game. It won't be a shootout. It would be nice, though, to, you know, go ahead and win a shootout. We've had a couple of them, and we have yet to win one this year. We had one with the Rams, and basically we had one with the Packers. What about, you know, it doesn't look like Larry's going to be able to come in, but, dude, freaking, how many times can Rodgers do it in one season, for Christ's sake? They tied up last night 30-30 with, like, a chunk of like a 151 left, got the ball back, and ended up they were like I don't know how long they had to go, but they were way back on their own territory, and a couple of plays here, a couple of plays there. Why not get to the 10? Oh, we're at the 30. Now let's get to the 10. It's like, geez, like this fucking guy. I mean, at least it's not a bomb and a Hail Mary that he's winning at the buzzer this year, I guess. But it just, as a Vikings fan, to go from Favre to Rodgers, and, you know, I respect both of them. If we're not playing them and it's a tight game, you're damn right I'm going to watch that game and just see greatness. I'm not too hell-bent and hell, you know, just the Homerisms that I'll be okay. I can just watch the game. I remember actually Moss and Carter were sitting there on the sidelines once. He goes, "This is Brett Favre right here. This is Brett Favre. Let's see him." You know, that was them during the game. They're doing it to them. So, man, Rodgers. Jesus Christ, Rodgers. Stop. Can you stop a little bit? Thank God you're in your mid-30s. So we both have our Viking squad winning. Be really, really nice. And then we come right back home for a tough game at home. Sunday night, New Orleans, and then Detroit, and then we got the bye. Man, do I love this freaking bye. And that might be, you know, after the bye, that could be a spot, a landing spot for a one Everson Griffin. Because you can get him back, you can get him a week to get his legs under him, or 2 weeks in that time, you know. You can get him in conditioning. I'm sure he's doing conditioning right now, but there's a difference, you know. As we know, it's, you know, leg, you know, having your legs underneath you is one thing, but it's a different thing when you actually get in the game. So that could be a landing spot. Of course, that's all premature to talk about it, but I really feel like he's going to come back and talk about adding the boost, man. But anyway, does that about wrap it up for the Vikes? Of course, we are going to talk Golden Gopher football, too, because we got to. Is there anything else you want to cover Vikes-wise?
No, just the thought that crossed my head there was the last couple of seasons, Everson's been getting kind of nicked up towards the end of the season, and if he does come back around the bye or during the bye, fresh legs going into the second half of the season. I don't think we've seen that out of Everson. Could turn out to be a blessing in disguise.
It really could, and it's not fresh legs from being out from an injury either. You know what I mean? Some people try to use that, and you're like, yeah, that is true. They don't have, like, the Charlie horses and all that, what happens in the pile and all that, and nicks and all that, but you still got hurt. So, therefore, maybe you're not as fresh as you think. But in this situation, you're right, man. I mean, I'm just really anticipating it. But anyway, let's get into the Golden Gophers. Like I said, I dropped the ball last week. Defensively, it was a mess 2 weeks ago against Iowa. Offensively, it wasn't. We kept pushing, getting back into the game. The moment Iowa would look like they get away from us, we'd jump right back in the game. Now, heading into Ohio State, this is what they flashed this during the game. Championship week, this is a go figure, a PJ Fleck thing. What's learned playing Ohio State? What champions hit like? We're going to find out what champions hit like. What champions look like? We're going to find out what they look like. How big they are. What kind of shape they're in. What champions play like? We got it to be elite, to get that ore in the fucking river, in the Mississippi River, you got to know. And then what is a stadium, a championship stadium look like? And we really got all of that. In fact, I remember us texting back and forth saying, hey, let's play a bunch of people, whether they're freshmen, redshirt freshmen, a sophomore who's inexperienced, just play it. Let them see what they got and get a taste of it. And I think I said something like, even if at the end of the game the taste is blood in their mouth, who cares? You know, why not? What do we got to lose right now? And I'll tell you what, they played that squad, and in Ohio State defensively is not elite at this moment. Maybe they'll get there, maybe they won't, but they are not elite. They have moments where they show, you know, their talent and whatnot, but if you've been paying attention to them at all this year, they're not that great on defense, especially in the first half. They generally kind of, they improve the second half, but their offense is silly. Their quarterback is silly, and to a tune of this guy Haskins, 3 touchdowns, 4-12, 33 of 44. Oh, I'll scamper in there too and get a first down here and there. This guy taking over for a quality guy that they had there for quite some time, JT Barrett. This guy, he's a really good quarterback. We're going to talk about our quarterback as well, who threw 2 picks, but still kind of willed his way. The running game, dude, buck 57. Honestly, right there, I'm just going to stop and kind of let you talk to. I don't want to go too deep on this. Obviously, we had an interception right away that led to their field goal. But then we bounced back, got a touchdown. They got a touchdown. We got a touchdown. We turned it over on downs, but then we fumbled. Then they get a touchdown. You know, it's really back and forth, only down 17-14 at half. Missed the field goal. I mean, if you line it up, there's 3 turnovers in Ohio State territory. 2 missed field goals. I mean, we were knocking on the door. And in the next year or two, it's about kicking that motherfucker in, obviously. But what did you think just in general? In the first half, hanging with them. In the second half, it kind of looked like, oh, it's up to 23-14. Oh, they're going to – and it's out. You know, and it just kind of fell apart. But 2 missed field goals in the second half. Long drives to 11 plays, 61 yards, 6-minute drive. And for college, that's impressive. How do you feel? Tell us how you feel good after this game, because there's no moral victories. That's what people like. Well, I got news for you. As a Golden Gopher fan going against Ohio State on the road, you bet your bottom dollar that there is such a thing as a moral loss, where you can look at it and go, hey, I'll tell you what, we lost, but we got something out of this. What'd you think of the squad in general? They were knocking on the door. They just, you can't turn the ball over that many times. And that's what we'll kind of, start off, have a, you know, I got some notes, news notes and stuff like that as well that I'll go over just to kind of talk about it too. But overall, what was your takeaway from the game, first half, second half, just in general?
Yeah, I think that pretty much wraps up the tale of the game, the turnovers and the missed field goals. You know, I got my bag of chips and my Mountain Dew, sat down, getting ready to watch what I thought was going to be a really rough day for the Gophers. And that first half, I just, you know, it just never came. They played really well. I thought the offensive line played really well. Very impressed by that. I know that the Ohio State defense is not elite at the time, but they're good enough to win the Big Ten. And so it's a decent defense, and they really pushed them around out there, got a ton of running yards. I thought Mola Ibrahim ran really, really well. Put Bryson a couple times. It really didn't need him. Mo was running so well. So I was really surprised. I thought it was a quality performance. I thought we were really, really in the game and with a really good chance to win. I thought momentum was heading our way. And then Johnson fumbled that ball on a really nice catch. And it's kind of like, all right, well, that's the floodgates. Here it comes. And, you know, it started to switch the momentum. Things started to change. I thought two uncharacteristic misses from Emmett Carpenter. He's usually a pretty steady kicker, and he missed a couple there. And yeah, interceptions, I think that he threw one, you know, it wasn't a great ball, but, you know, overall it's a lot of young mistakes you saw out there. And I know our defense isn't that young. We're starting 8 to 10 upperclassmen on that defense. I know we had our best corner. He's out for the game. So I thought we played very well considering, yeah, there's no such thing as moral victories, but there were a lot of silver linings. I thought you got to see the future of our offensive line, the way that's going. Our defensive line, we got a lot of young recruits coming in next year. Now, they'll be freshmen, probably PJ will want a red shirt, a lot of them too, which is a good thing. It just kind of takes a while. People are really losing their minds over this and really giving PJ a hard time about his record. But if you listen to the guy, he can't tell you enough, and he does tell you. You know, he continues to repeat, and people just don't get it through their heads. I think they've been burned by too many Tim Brewsters coming to town,
yeah,
and other guys like that.
If I do, my chili's,
you know, you
hot.
Know what,
my chili's already hot.
Your chili hot.
Can we fucking get some victories?
You're not going to kill the bear with a pellet gun. That's
yeah.
My favorite one.
He's still recruiting.
You know.
He's still recruiting.
Oh,
he's
still
with Bama
recruiting.
Now, tight ends coach. But that guy can recruit. I'll give him that. He can get that chili hot.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I thought they played really well. I thought Zach, you know, he's a freshman. You're going to get a lot of mistakes. So I thought they came out. They didn't seem too big for them. They seemed like they were there to play football and you punch them in the mouth. And I think they did that. Looking forward, we've got another freshman tackle that'll probably play a little bit here towards the end of the season, Curtis Dunlap, who comes out of IMG with Zach and Falele. The Falele kid's big and just a baby, so he'll learn and pick up more. So we got three, that'll be three freshmen on the offensive line, and they look big. They look like what I'm really starting to notice in this team, and the biggest silver lining I see is they're starting to look like Big Ten athletes. And I thought, you know, when Kill took over, his few years of recruiting, he started to see guys that look like they fit the bill for Big Ten football players. Then it kind of went down towards the end with Clay's, and now it's starting to fill back up again. So we got this class and another class. So there's some really good kids redshirting right now, and I think you'll start to see some of these kids start to play a little bit more. Shannon Brooks, he's got his thing. Turns out he was arrested for a fight with his roommate. So I think that should blow over pretty quickly. He might play this week against Nebraska. I wouldn't count on it. I'd say maybe the week after. But, yeah, the Ohio State game was a real litmus test, and I think they did get to see what a good team looks like. They did get to see what a good team plays like, what a good atmosphere is like, what kind of what they want to push themselves towards. So I think on the whole, minus the W, it was a great experience for them. It was necessary for them. Going into Nebraska, let's see if that helps.
Yeah, and those two freshmen, big freshmen on the offensive line, man, they are starting to road grade. They really are, and it's like you don't have to ask much. Just kind of hold your ground, dude. You're almost like a defensive tackle, you know. Just have two dudes wrap you up, you know. Just move, dude. You're already six. What is he? 6'6", 400 pounds. Is that how big he is?
I think he's 6'9".
6'9", 400 pounds. Jesus Christ! And you can just see him. I mean, they're just running right behind him. Like, all right, dude, just get a body on a body and start road grading. And you're right; that offensive line is looking the part. And finally, somebody else, not named Coughlin, fucking got a damn sack. So that was key. I think it was Gibson who had the sack.
Mm-hmm.
But Coughlin and I thought Blake Cashman looked. Or is it? Yeah, I think it's Cashman. Those two, you know, obviously Carter's really good, but I think Blake Cashman's been playing okay. I really thought he flexed. You know, I really saw him just in his, you know, with his nose in where it needs to be, basically. Another thing I like, and it's just a fact, we're not going to talk Iowa, obviously, that was 2 weeks ago, but offensively speaking, like, the next couple of years with this offense, it's going to be a legitimate freaking offense. Because Iowa knows how to play defense. They run, and they play smart defense. They're veterans, generally. And I just love the bounce back. These last 2 weeks, yes, they've been losses, but the bounce back from Maryland, the shellacking that Maryland gave us, you know, it was going to go one way or the other. You know, were we just going to continue to get shellacked, or were we actually going to say, you know what, no, uh-uh, this isn't happening. Obviously, too many turnovers. I do like the Seth Green Wildcat. It seems pretty efficient. It makes a lot of sense, especially with the two senior backs out. I like it. Maybe they'll overuse it at times, I don't know, but I do like it. Seth Green is a big dude, and, you know, it's not like he can't throw the ball. He was a quarterback. We recruited him as a quarterback. So, and so did Oregon, by the way. So, I do like what I see there. We gave up, obviously, too many passing yards, but here we are. We're 3-3, and this is – we kind of – I guess you can't say, oh, we got through our schedule because, you know, we've lost three times in a row, you know what I mean, right now. So that's not great, but we got Nebraska. We got a Friday night Indiana at home. We got Illinois. We got Purdue. We got Northwestern, and then we got Wisconsin. So that's one ranked team in the bunch. These are winnable games. Here we are, 3-3. Can we finish the season 3-3 through these last six? Can we go 4-2, or will we be 2-4? I gotta say, with the squads that are coming up, I really want to go 3-3. I mean, obviously, you want to go to a bowl game. I mean, I want to go 6-0, but you know, that's not gonna happen probably. But do you think we can get to 3-3 and possibly 4-2? With Nebraska, with Indiana, with Illinois, with Purdue, and with Northwestern, and a variety of those, let's see, one, two, three, three of them are at home. Three out of the next five games are at home. How do you feel up until this point at the halfway mark, basically? And, I mean, we'll get into Nebraska a little bit. I'm scared as hell of this game. Because you know what I know, that they – I'm not going to speak for you, but I kind of feel like they're going to get off the fucking schneid this week, and it's going to happen to the Gophers, dude. They're 0-6. They've never been 0-6 in their history. So who are they going to beat? Let's see. Who are they going to beat? Oh, the Minnesota Gold Gophers are coming into town. It's just living in Loserville. This is just one that just lined up right there for us. And people are going, how did this happen? Well, I'll tell you, do we want to go over this stuff? I don't think we do.
Yeah, they're a good football team regardless of their record. They got a lot of talent, and they got upperclassmen. Got J.D. Spielman, could cause us a lot of problems. I'm worried about it too, but I got a lot of faith, so I'm going to say we go down there and we win. I think we win a close one.
But yeah, it's terrifying because, you know, they're 6-0, just dying for a win. They're hungry. Well, we'll find out if they're hungry, because if they're hungry, they got a good chance to win this weekend. But then you got the Gophers coming in, you know, keeping the train going, getting the momentum from last week. Got a lot of faces coming in, different guys, different players, players that'll play four games and get pulled out. So talent, a little talent infusion coming in. I really think if they can keep their heads where they need to be, they can go down there and they can beat this Nebraska team that keeps beating itself, if you notice. That's what Ohio State did to us. They forced us to beat ourselves, and I think maybe that's something that PJ can instill in these kids, that if we do what we're supposed to do, they'll beat themselves. And I think that'll happen, so I think we'll go down to Nebraska and win. But you're right, it's low-hanging fruit. I mean, going down there, it's a pick'em game. I think they're a three-point favorite just because they're home, so I think they got them picked. It's a pick'em down there. So, yeah, I don't know. I really feel like it's going to come down to, you know, who wants the game more. And I think if you lose 6 in a row, you probably want to win pretty bad. So we've lost 3 in a row.
Turnovers, man.
Just come on.
We got to tighten up those turnovers.
Well, yeah, I mean, here's the deal on the next 3 games, as I see it, man. It's one phrase, winter is coming. We got 3 coming at home. The weather's going to turn here. So I don't know who we're playing at home. Maybe you could tell me. But going 3-3 would be really nice. No, it's good to know that we got 3 home games coming, because I was a little bit iffy on whether or not we could pull out 6 wins to get a bowl game. But, yeah, our schedule looks on paper pretty good. Looks like we could – Indiana's a tough team. You know, that might be a loss. Purdue, if that's at home, I think maybe we win that game. If it's on the road, I don't know. So, you know, we're going to go 5 to 6 wins. I think this game coming up here in Nebraska is going to be a big one. You're going to see – if they continue to make progress. And I think progress would be going down to Nebraska, playing a good game, solid on offense, solid on defense, and coming out with a win of any kind. If you can go down to Nebraska, get yourself a win under the circumstances, I think that's a great move forward to maybe going ahead. Then you need 2 more wins in your next 5, and I think that's a doable thing. I think this is a big game as far as the season goes for that reason. So I got all my faith going down with the Gopher squad. Go down there and win a tough ball game, because it's going to be a street fight, I think. And they're going to find out what this team's made of. And I certainly hope we come out on top of that one.
The way you shape that is true, man. If they get off the schneid, well, if we, not them, if the Gophers get off the schneid, they've lost 3-2, you know, or 3 in a row as well. So, man, that would be nice coming home. And you know, the last fight. Yeah, you're right, man. This is a really big game, and it's just one of those things that last week they should have won. Northwestern came back, and then they should have won and came back again and ended up beating them. You know, it's like they could have won that game about 7 different times, and they just didn't. You know, Cornhuskers fans, man, they had this coach a couple coaches back that would get them to 10 wins every year. And that wasn't good enough for the Cornhuskers.
Wasn't good enough
for the fan base. He got them there. He actually had this really good quarterback named Martinez. They got another Martinez there. I don't think it's the same. Yeah, I don't. I think this isn't the same type of Martinez as the other one. But it is funny how it's like, well, okay, you know, are you sure you're not happy with 10 wins? That's 10 out of 12. And a trip to the conference title, especially, you know, in this side. You know, it's quite nice being in the West, if you look at it, considering the Big Ten East with Michigan, Ohio State, Michigan State, and Penn State just all up in there. So, this is big, man. This is big. They got Frost, and he did such a great job at Central Florida. They got Frost, a former player, who, you know, was a stud when he was there, running quarterback. And in a weird way, I kind of feel for him. It's like, yeah, dude, you're back, man. Yeah. Sweet. Oh, you're 0-6 for the first time in school history. That whole, oh, we like this guy, that's out the window. So the Cornhuskers are coming for you. And Fireman Ed, that's his name, Fireman Ed. Hey, Ed, we're coming for you. Edwin Anzoli, I think it's Anzoli, better known as Fireman Ed, the super fan for the Jets. Fireman Ed, we're coming for you, buddy. You want to add anything before we get on out of here, buddy?
I was going to say that if you look at next year's schedule, it works out very, very nice. I think we're Michigan-less. I think we're Ohio State-less. I think we got a really nice schedule next year at some of the big boys. I think the only big boy we play next year is Penn State. So that sets up well for a pretty nice season next year.
So you're saying PJ Fleck knows what the hell he's doing. Fleck's like, oh, we're lining up for this next season.
Even next year, I think our non-conference is pretty weak. So I know we go to Fresno State, but the other two are kind of cupcakes. So I think it sets up for a pretty nice season next year. You know, you're going to say that they weren't happy with the 10-2 records they were getting. So here's a nice slice of 0-6 and see how you like it. Hopefully it'll be 0-7 going after this weekend.
Yeah, man, let's hope, because we've just seen it too many times up here in Loserville. It's just rough. You can't get it out of your head. In everyday life, I don't think this way. You know, I don't. I'm a very positive person. I'm realistic, but a positive. I can bounce back. But as a fan, when you have nothing to do with it, you just know, like, all right, dude, so they haven't won a game. Okay, wow. So they haven't won one yet. It's week seven, and oh, my God. It's actually week eight in college football now that I think about it. But, all right, let's get out of here. We're signing off with the Purple People Eaters podcast. Let's hope we get two W's for Minnesota next weekend. I was almost going to say enjoy the fights, but enjoy the game Saturday and Sunday. We'll be back. And like I said, Fireman Ed, we're coming for you, buddy. Peace.
Peace.
Once you become the world champion, I believe that you feel you have the upper hand. So now, let's say you fight 4 or 5 years of straight survival, the bullshit, the whole bag, and when you become a world champion, you're like, you know what, I made it.